muted.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of CompuGroup Medical SE. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Teig, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
So a warm welcome from my side. This is Christian Teig speaking from Koblenz to go through the third quarter 2017 for CompuGroup Medical SE. We will very much follow the normal format, which means we go through a presentation. This presentation can be either followed through the link that you have received in the invitation, or you can download it from our website. For those who download it and read it offline, I will try to refer to the slide numbers so that you can track the progress as we talk through it. That usually takes 15 to 20 minutes, and thereafter there is an open Q&A session where questions will be queued up. So we now step into the first slide. This is the slide numbered 2. Here we see the key figures in the third quarter. Three main topics: relatively low growth, explainable, we will get back to that. Good margins, as we see it, given the ramp-up that we've done over the past 3 months to the TE rollout. And if you go below EBITDA, there is a non-cash financial result, which comes from currency movements. This time it's negative from the weakening of the US dollars, just so you know where that comes from. But overall, some growth topics, margins we're quite happy with, and some non-cash effects on financial results. We will then step through the normal housekeeping slides, starting on the slide numbered 3. Here we see the revenue and profitability. If you track the red line, the profitability line, it's pretty much the same Q3 this year as it was last year. Given that we have something like a 2 to 3% margin dilution from the TE rollout preparations, we think that is an okay result from where we are in our cycle. Next slide is slide numbered 4. This is just an overview over our costs of goods and corresponding gross margin. In this quarter, very much on the normal level, which means a gross margin of 82 to 83%. All effects that have been there over the last 3 years, plus minus, related to the ORS1 project are now over. This is a pretty clean COGS picture, and again, 82 to 83% is something that we should expect. I guess in a normalized long run, we will enter into a period now where this will fluctuate actually quite a lot because of the TE rollout. But again, for this quarter, very much a normal level. Brings us to slide numbered 5, personnel expenses. This dip that you see from Q2 to Q3 is not really systematic. There is a significant impact from the currency movements, the weakening of the dollar, the weakening of the Turkish lira. We have quite a lot of personnel expenses there. Other than that, they're just smaller changes in holiday accruals and so on and so forth. So I guess the normal level, given how you view FX, is probably more on the Q1, Q2 level, and that we are steadily now building the organization for a significantly higher revenue picture. Slide number 6, other expenses. We always measure this in relationship to our personnel expenses, as normally our other costs support our HR structure. In this quarter, there is a fairly significant influence from special ramp-up costs in relationship to the TE rollout. That's why you see this step up from Q2 to Q3. Nothing dramatic, but again, of material nature. brings us to slide number 7, the operating cash flow. This was a very positive development in the quarter. We are really getting receivables down, at least those receivables that have been delayed because of our internal system changes on the ERP and CRM side. And this change still does not include the large What is One payment. This is about 15 million euros that we are still waiting for in the finalization of the What is One project. And we've even now paid all our subcontractors. That was roughly 7 million in the quarter. So really, all things factored in, we're very happy with how we've beginning to see results from getting working capital down. And we're also, of course, coming to the end of our internal ERP CRM system migrations, so that we will start to get more of a normalized cash flow profile. But certainly in this quarter, very strong for being a third quarter for CGM. Brings us to slide number 8, capital expenditure, significantly more than what is normal for us. There is even more detail than on this slide listed in the report, where you see that we did spend what was needed here to get, you know, the connector recertified and ready after the project. That's now been capitalized. That's something like 2 million or 1.8 million. And of course, the VPN access service came a lot in this quarter. Accumulated, we've invested something like 8 million into the data centers in Düsseldorf and Frankfurt. Yeah, we have the logistics centers and warehouse, which you saw if you joined us on our Capital Markets Day. Basically, this should be more or less it in what is needed to get us ready for the upcoming TE rollout. But as I said, more than what is normal, and in total 15 million. Brings us to slide number 9, balance sheet. I guess 4 points to mention: less trade receivables, less trade payables also, less debt and more equity, and altogether then a slimmer total balance sheet. And again, that's an area where we are happy with how we have been able to manage and develop that over the last 3 months. This brings us now into the different operating segments. We jump quickly over the slide with no number, the placeholder for our AIS business, software for doctors business. On slide 11, we see the main points in this area. On the surface, weak in terms of growth. It looks better if you look into the details. You know, the core business, meaning all of our AIS businesses except the US, they perform well. 4% organic growth is totally normal. No revenue on the What is One project, and we don't expect any more revenue from that project this year. It's completed and had zero revenue in the quarter. And then the weak point, which is the US, which gets a double whammy: A, underperforming, and B, a weak dollar in the quarter. The rest of this section under the doctor software segment is somewhat of a repetition from our Capital Markets Day. For those of you who attended that or read through that, I will try to focus on new developments. And of course, everyone is probably interested in the latest and greatest. Slide number 12 is a pure repeat that in terms of the projects that we've had in our P&L and very high on the discussion over the last 3 years is now, for all practical purposes, over, and it was successfully completed. It costed a lot more than what was planned, but we are still saying that with a smile on our face, and it has brought us to the position where we are today, to be ready to compete for major revenue in the rollout of the technology that was developed. Slide number 13, this I guess is known for many of you already. We launched, as soon as the Gematik declared or manifested the rollout, 1st of July, it was a clear statement made in the press release that we now move from the project phase into a rollout phase.
We launched our offer into the market and started to sell the package that can connect you to this network, even if we hadn't achieved the recertification of all the components to the specification that has been adjusted for the live operations.
Yeah.
The early bird offer, as we called it, was launched in July, and including VAT seen from the doctors in Germany, you see the numbers here. If you take out the VAT, which are then CGM reported figures, €3,100 for the initial installation and components, and €833 per year thereafter. Those numbers, of course, match exactly what doctors get reimbursed from the insurance side, to make it as easy as possible for doctors to buy into this offer. Yeah, the outcome, many of you already know, this is a pure copy of the slide that we had on the 12th of October. The campaign gave 7,500 orders, which we thought was a good outcome. And if you look further into the details, this is then slide number 15. Customers or doctors and dentists bought more than the base package. Actually, instead of the 3,100, they ordered for 3,450 per order, and that has all to do with the number of card readers that they bought. So in the basic financing agreement, if you are a small, and most doctors' offices are small, you get reimbursed for one card reader. And if you have a need to do home visits, you also get reimbursed for a mobile card reader. For some reason, the mobile card reader is cheaper than the stationary card reader. This, I think, has only to do with how it's produced, as this is done by a third party for us. But many of the customers know that in the future they will need more than the one stationary card reader. We had one customer, I was told, that ordered just 10 immediately because they had 10 rooms and they want a card reader in each room. So it shows that, you know, doctors take this seriously, and again, it's not as if they, with millimeter precision, measure this against what they get reimbursed. They order what they need to have a good working environment when the network becomes live. Brings us to slide 16. There was a long internal discussion. What do you do after the early bird offer? Clearly, there needs to be some reward for loyally ordering or almost pre-ordering these components before they are released in the market. So we were somewhat constrained to not sweeten or at least financially lower the offer. And we didn't do that in our autumn offer, which we launched directly thereafter. The trained eye will see that prices are identical. The only difference was that for the early birds, we have given them an installation guarantee before the end of the year, whereas for the fall offer, we give a first-come, first-serve type of, not guarantee, but statement associated with it. So we will do as much as we are able to before the end of the year. This also has to do with how much doctors get reimbursed. This offer, as you will see from the heading, is valid until Sunday. Why Sunday? Well, on Monday starts Medica. Medica is the largest trade fair in the world in healthcare. It's a long-standing tradition, even if the format has changed quite a lot over the last few years. Medica is important, and of course, CGM will have a Medica offer, which maybe, to no surprise, will be again based on the same prices, but there will be some normal traditional giveaways that the doctors can pick up if they place their order, say, at the trade fair or in conjunction with the trade fair. So that will be the Medica offer, and then I guess there will be, before the end of the year, some kind of Christmas offer. And then we are done for 2017 in terms of order intake. Total numbers, this is in the report that we have in terms of orders, is about 9,000. This was when we produced the report some days ago. Yeah, and then comes the Medica offer period, yeah, and the final weeks before Christmas. So we will then see how much we have at year-end, and of course, how much we will be able to install. This brings us to slide number 17. Where are we in terms of starting? Again, this is more or less the same slide as we showed on October 12th, meaning for all the main components related to certification and accreditation, we are waiting for green light. As much as we would have loved to have that today for this conference call, we don't have that, but I can say so much that we really now expect this in only days, and I guess there is a very strong symbolic deadline, which is the opening on the Medica on Monday, where I think everyone who is involved, and that clearly includes us, would see it as a great, great victory and milestone if we can show up Monday morning at the Medica with the accreditation, which includes the certification, done, so that the Medica will be done with a ready-to-install connection package for the telematic infrastructure. That is certainly the goal and the assumption. What it actually means, if you look back to where we started the year, the original outlook was, we will start gradually in the middle of the year and over 6 months do a certain number of installations. These 6 months have turned into 6 weeks. So if you read the third main bullet, in theory you can do 30,000 installations in 6 weeks. We're not going to do 30,000 installations. We will do as many as we can in terms of the orders we have, and certainly we will do everything we can to at least get the early bird offers done. I guess the final timeline bottleneck, in addition to our own installation capacity and inherently the number of orders, are the practice or institutional cards. These are the so-called SMCB cards. These are the cards that find that this is the last component that you need to actually use the system. So it's a chip that you put into the side of the card reader. And this is the chip that, in a sense, proves that you are an authorized healthcare provider, so an authorized doctor or dentist. And to get this authorization, you have to order these cards. They are produced by either Bundesdruckerei, who is our main supplier, or a few others. But each application and each chip card has to be authorized by the local doctors or dental association so that they give the rubber stamp that this is a real doctor who is authorized to connect to the telematic infrastructure. Now, for the dentist, so the KZV is mostly ready. They have an online solution for this, a portal where the dentists can log on and fill out their information, their dental number, which is a national numbering system in Germany, and so on and so forth. And then it will be checked at the local dental association, and then when they approve it, the cards will be produced. So it means that if we now start installations next week, we will most likely start with dentists. We have about one-third of the 9,000, so roughly 3,000 are dental orders, which gives us, again, a few weeks to get the doctors and the local KVs, so the local doctors' associations, up to the same level. That is in progress. And we, of course, do everything we can in terms of supporting also the workflow and processes so that we get that bottleneck out of the system as well. Lots of work going on here, but we still have, I guess, what we need to close our year the way we more or less planned to do it when we started, but done in 6 weeks and not 6 months. And that's no small feat, and there has been a lot of debottlenecking in the details on how to do this. That was the current update on this very important project for us. And as it now stands, Q3 2017 will be the last quarter in our corporate story, which does not include the influence of live telematics infrastructure revenue. So that is some milestone to cross. We then move on to our pharmacy software business. We jump past the nice picture and into page or slide number 19. A pretty non-eventful quarter, 2% organic growth is also the year-to-date figure. We will end up this year, as it seems, 2-3% organic growth, which is right smack the average of what we've had over the last 3 years. So really, in my opinion, in a positive sense, no surprises, steadily going where it should do. Yes, there is an extra 5%, which comes from the acquisitions we did in September last year. These are some resellers and dealers. Yeah, from Q4 on, until we do further steps on the M&A side, we are down to the 2-4% organic growth in this segment, which is how we model this also for the longer future. Next slide. Jump over the nice picture into the slide numbered 21. Our hospital business, again, a fairly uneventful quarter. Q3 was fairly strong this year. It was more or less the same this year compared to last year. Year-to-date, 3% organic growth. We've guided this flat year-on-year, so I think we are in okay shape. By now, because of changes that have happened mostly in Eastern Europe and also the exits that we've done for below meaningful levels of revenue markets like Turkey and the Middle East, we actually have now almost 90% of our revenue here from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, which is not a bad bundle of, say, regional markets, as you can share a lot of resources and the healthcare sectors operate in very similar ways. And again, there was some mention of a very important milestone also on our large project in Austria for the Vorarlberg Hospital Association. We went live in the state hospital in Feldkirch, which is a very large hospital, which is now almost 100% based on G3 technology and has gone very well. So we are relieved, happy, and proud of that. And we are steadily moving ahead to build more and more, as we see it, of a product advantage in this market. So overall, if you take operational and financial development, a decent quarter. HCS, this brings us to slide number 22, is again a segment where on the surface it may look weak, but there are some moving parts that make it well explainable. So A, we have at least for a time stepped out of the communication data business in Italy. It was always difficult for us to run that with some systematic growth and even profits. We merged it with a competitor called FabLab and gave them we still own a substantial part of it, but they now run the business for us, which means in terms of control and consolidation, it stepped out and was no longer in the P&L for Q3 this year. This has some effect. And then in workflow and decision support, we have a significant business in Turkey where we do claims management for private health insurance. Yeah, the Turkish lira has gone even deeper south than the dollars. And this had also a significant revenue effect for the quarter. And then finally, of course, no more revenue from the ORS1 project, which means you have this year-on-year effect on the ISP side. So, explainable, but on the surface, not the strongest in terms of growth. Brings us to the last, slide of substance in the deck. This is slide 23. The guidance is unchanged. I guess the only thing that we changed was we underlined three words. A, the original assumption was, of course, somewhat, and we now see wisely, risk-adjusted, assuming that we would have a gradual, controlled, slow begin. And as I said, we have really significantly uprated the efficiency of the whole installation and deployment process, and we will now do more or less the same as what was planned in a much shorter time period compared to the original plan. And we are really down to 6 weeks to do it all. it still would mean that we will end up then in the original guided ranges. The verdict on this outlook will come, if you go to slide number 24, on the 5th of February next year. That's when we publish our preliminary Q4 and the preliminary full year report for 2017. Yeah, and in terms of the remaining financial calendar for 2018, it's very, very much the same as this year, only adjusted for practical dates and weekdays, but very much the same type of roadmap. This brings us to slide 25 and the opening of the Q&A session. As you may have discovered or gotten a sense from in the introduction, we have switched provider of our web conferencing system. So far everything seems to work perfectly, and we even had an outsourced and very good introduction made into the presentation. The one change is that the numbering logic to queue up and raise questions has changed. Over the last 10 years, it was star 1, and from now on, you punch 0-1. So I hope that this is a manageable change, even if we're all people of habit. So please punch 0-1 if you want to raise questions. You will be queued up, and questions will be taken in sequence. Please.
So we have received the first question from Knut Waller. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of questions, Christian. First, when I look at your organic revenue growth profile and try to align what you said regarding the expectations for the health card rollout that you expect at least to get the early bird offers done by year end, is it then fair to assume with regards to your guidance that we should rather be at the low end of the range in terms of revenues and also in terms of margins? And then you highlighted the ramp-up cost you had to prepare for the rollout. If I look at your margin, organically it was down 10 basis points now in the first 9 months. Where would the margin have been if we strip out these one-time costs that I would assume shouldn't occur next year, just to get a feeling for the core business and the potential to improve margins looking in 2018? And lastly, briefly on PPA, there seems to be a drop now in the third quarter. Can you help us for the modeling, which run rate is the 5 million we had now in terms of the adjustments, the roughly 5.2 million you booked in Q3? Is that the run rate that we should put in the models if no further M&A would occur looking in 2018-19? Thank you.
So to the first question, the short answer is yes. If you do the numbers, you will see that we will end up in the lower end of the guidance range. In terms of margin, I think the statement that I briefly did during the presentation is also valid for the year-to-date figures, that we have a 2-3% margin dilution from, say, preparatory activities without any revenue associated to them. So, well, if it was 3%, something like that in Q3, maybe year-to-date is more like 2. So I would say a fair picture of the core business is something around 24%. It is where we are today. To the third question, yes. This is now, a lot of PPAs now came out mid-year 2017. Many of the PPAs related, for example, to the ProfDoc acquisition. 5.2 is now the run rate that should go forward. That is correct.
Excellent. Thank you, Christian.
The next question is from Andreas Wolf of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Christian. A couple of questions also from my side. So the one is the obvious regarding the U.S. Is it still the impact of the migration to the new software version that we see here in the Q3 figures? And then with regard to the certification of the connector, how well is everything already prepared for Monday? Is it assuming a 95% certification or likelihood of a certification by Monday, is it more towards 50%? I know it's a tricky question, but could you give us more insight about how sure you are to get the certification by Monday? The third question is regarding third-party vendors. It appears like many of them are not ready for the TE rollout. Will there be a software migration package provided by CompuGroup in the future? Because if I look at the penalties, it might even make sense for doctors to totally migrate the software in order not to face those high penalties that might occur in this first or second year, which then obviously accrue. Thank you.
So first question, US. No, actually, we are still only doing smaller pilots now for these migrations. So we just had a somewhat difficult quarter in the U.S. If you look at our peers in the U.S., everyone had this. I mean, Cerner was down 10% when they announced, and others as well. So I guess we're not getting any inherent help. You know, we never use the market as an excuse, but I would say in addition to being where we are with our own business, it was not a period where you got anything for free. So as we said, don't expect good results in Q4 for the U.S. and that there is, the positive effects from getting to a completely different level on the product side will come gradually during next year. We may speak a little bit about that when we guide for next year, but again, in Q3, it was not related to our internal migration project. I will not give you percentages, but since you mentioned 95 and 50 in terms of achieving certification on Monday, it must be much closer to 95. All the ducks are lined up. Everybody wants this. We want it. That's obvious. Politics want that. Gematik want that. We've been at the last 3 years at the Medica, under the media and other attacks of, what the hell is taking so long and why are you not ready? And, of course, if you could get there on a completely different note, that's obviously what everybody wants and that's what everybody has prepared for and that's what everyone has planned for. The champagne is in the fridge and that's really... And obviously, testing is done. It's a little bit of a decision you make. Formalities are still important, but as I said, I can only say that there must be a very high probability. And as I said, everything has been planned so that the Medica can open with, a certified connector, a certified card reader, a certified VPN access service, a certified central infrastructure, and a certified SMCB ordering process. That's planned and prepared. It's not 100%, unfortunately, because then we would have announced it today, but that's what we have planned for. Your question on the third-party vendors, there was some media today about this where our competitors are waking up. So if I was to be a little bit, maybe not unfair, but to give them a little bit of a sting, I would say, okay, guys, you've done nothing for 3 years. We've spent, tens of millions to get ready. Nobody should expect this to be easy, and it's a slow process. So if you start late, you shouldn't complain that you're not ready in time. Nothing drives progress like a deadline or competition, so I think they will get ready, but obviously later than the CGM customers, and some may even struggle. Do we think that this is a market share game yet? No. I mean, we even today have a software migration package. You can log on to our websites or call one of our offices and you can buy CGM software. All doctors know this. But as I said, it's still not yet at the point where we think that will be a major driving force. And as I said, also now that our main competitors are complaining a little bit in the press about the time pressure is a good sign that they will get their act together and get ready so that it will not impact and impede their customers' ability to connect to the infrastructure within the new deadline, which is now end of next year.
Thank you.
The next question is from Lars von Merck of Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Christian, it's basically, first of all, on the traditional business, the doctor's business, it was kind of flattish currently over the last month as we had a wait-and-see situation there. What do you expect from that business in Q4? And because that brings me then to my next question. If I assume something like 150 million of business in your traditional revenues in your traditional business, you would need something like 9,000 installations to be done in Q4 to reach the 600 million in revenues. And when the report was printed, you already had this 9,000 orders. You make them in 1.5 weeks, less than 1.5 weeks, installations. So that would indicate you don't expect any new orders to come from Monday onwards. And the last question is, where are the orders for the TI today? I mean, the report was printed a few weeks ago. That was 9,000. Where are we now? Thanks.
So, I mean, your mathematics is mostly right. We probably think that it's not going to be, at the end of the day, the orders needed, but it's going to be the lead time and the logistics most probably around the SMCB cards, as it has. So, I mean, yes, we will, but we also need some kind of backlog and order reserve when we get into next year. So this will be, you know, there is nothing magic with the year and other related, say, to the importance of our guidance and what was promised for this year. So, I mean, that we would do something in the range of 9, hopefully 10 or something, installations, and we would still have some thousands of orders that would start January with, is how we see that. I mean, the report is always produced some days ago, so 9,000 was some days ago. You know, what we, one thing maybe to mention in this context is that when we had one slide, which I didn't bring over to the this Q3 presentation, but on the Capital Markets Day, we gave a lot of detail on the responses we had in our sales work, and you saw there was something like 52% yellow, which were people that basically wanted to buy, they just didn't see the time being right. We think that, you know, when you announce certified market-ready components, you start to do the installations, the dynamic with that group will change, and it's probably going to have some accelerating effect towards the end of the year in January. But of course, we need all of that because next year is going to be the year when essentially we want to do everyone. And again, you cannot empty out everything. That's also logistically not going to work. So some of the orders that come from now on will then start to be installed next year.
Okay, but to be clear, in the presentation on page 17, you say early bird orders expected to be delivered in 2017. That would be an amount of 7,500.
Yes, and then, you know, some more we will most likely do.
Okay.
But, you know, the exact number is also unknown for us. You know, some doctors go on skiing. You know, the last week you need to plan carefully, as some like to do internal work then because it's usually a quiet period. Some doctors say, fine, come and do it then. Others go on skiing holiday and say, forget it. You do it either before or after.
Well, fair enough, but to be clear, if you don't make more than 7,500, you don't reach the 600, so the low end of the guidance. That's why I'm so picky here with this number. Yeah, got it. Understood. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ryan Lawrence of Hawkley Capital. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking the question. I think I've mastered DL1. That was a big risk. But two questions, Christian, about the U.S. First, what's the profit level? And second, what's the outlook for that business? At various times you've thought, you know, strategically about it. The second question, the MGS joint venture, the insurance joint venture in Germany, could you remind me who the competitor is for you guys with that now that you have the market share that you do? Talk a little bit about the economic model there and what the potential for revenue and profit there is maybe over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
So on the first one, the U.S., we are now running the U.S. Back to something like a black zero, and that's basically because we are investing in the product side. So that has been going on all year and even started last year. So it touched something like 10% in terms of operating profits. That's now down to something like 2 to 3, but that's a deliberate move because we need to bring something new into that business to get it to grow again. And the decision was it needs a future-oriented modern product that can replace all of the legacies that we've worked with to date. On MGS, basically competition are other private health insurance companies that do in-house solutions, essentially doing much of the same. So if you look on the market share overview of private insurances in Germany, you see, for example, Allianz have clearly said they develop their own, say, call it loyalty program or, customer service program, which has some of the same flavors. They don't have the electronic invoicing. They work together with IBM as a subcontractor on this. So indirectly, you could say IBM is there. They have also been active on some of the public insurances. This is then related to the larger, call it personal health record opportunity that was presented at the Capital Markets Day. So, I mean, competition directly would be the larger private insurances that just prefer to do their own solution and not in a pooled way, which then DBK and AXA and the others, VKB, have done together with us as their technical subcontractor. Where are we in the economic model? Is that ultimately, I guess we have two channels of extracting value. One is as a shareholder of MGS. That's now down to something like 35%, and the rest are owned by the mentioned insurances. And the other one is CGM, which then charges on a per account multiplied by the number of services used by that account. And that is the important business model. And we will get long. So today we get roughly 10 euros per year per active account. As this grows, this will probably end up, seven, maybe it can creep back up to 10, but in that range, 7 to 10. So if we get something like, 1 million accounts, it would be 7 to 10 million euros of revenue to CGM. And then it just scales based on the reach that the service gets.
And what's the cost associated with that, Christian?
So we have today, I would say, roughly 5 million per year is really all together, very ballpark figure. So today, making losses, even if we have some, project revenue and for all the customizing and tailoring to each insurance, it's white labeled. So they have it under their own kind of co-brand MGS and own brand. We cover a lot of those costs, not all of it, but longer term, it's roughly 5 million per year. So you would need something like 500,000 live account from Brave to break even.
But 40% of the privately insured market, how big is the privately insured market?
It's roughly 8 million.
8 million, okay.
And then that's the fully privately insured. We're also working, as we mentioned, on those that have the additional private insurance. That is a much larger market. And, of course, if we could tap into that, we would have a lot more growth opportunity. But clearly we need to be successful through our distribution partners, and the distribution partners are our co-shareholders. And again, order of magnitude, we need to get to roughly 500,000 active accounts to break even.
Right. Okay, interesting. Thank you.
At the moment, there are no further questions. So as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01.
Seems not to be the case. Then thank you for your interest. And if not before, then we will rehear on the verdict of 2017 on the 5th of February next year. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.